But what about jobs now in areas like quantum computing, even before those computers exist? Well, Pauline Newman has just met Michelle Riley, who's a quantum entrepreneur, and when she started, only the second one in existence, we're told.
Michelle, I think that you said you were only the second entrepreneur in quantum technology in the world.
At the time that I started the company, that was definitely the case. The industry is growing very rapidly. We're seeing a lot of different efforts, so it's an interesting time to be involved in quantum computing.
So tell me what quantum technology entrepreneurs do.
We in particular are focused on what I now started to call digital error correction to distinguish it from control of errors at the hardware level. So the thing to understand is that quantum computers have an extensive classical infrastructure in order to manage the errors. So we're building an operating system for quantum computers. And the amount of data that's going to be coming out of these machines is upwards of 50 terabytes a second, depending on which particular hardware chipset technology we're talking about. In the case of superconductors and silicon, it's upwards of 140 terabytes a second. So this is more data than the LHC is currently managing. So from our perspective, most of what we see that comes out of the machine are errors. So we set up a company to work on that now because it's a critical problem that's currently not the focus of a lot of major technology companies. And we know that in order for these machines to even run in the first place, this is necessary. Without this technology, no quantum computer will be running quantum algorithms anytime soon.
In fact, you're way ahead of the curve, aren't you? Because quantum computers don't exist, and they may not exist. Maybe 15 years, maybe never.
This is a big debate in many different communities, how to address this. And I think any effort that is going for a visionary purpose of solving some of the biggest problems has to address. Yeah, it's an exciting time to be part of this.
And if you can actually get that done, I mean, the world's problems could be solved, or some of them, but more will be created.
Yeah, we're all sort of reluctant to overpromise, but there are pretty strong indications that this should work. If it doesn't work, it would be sort of a revolution in physics.
Okay, so in terms of the impact on human life, what matters to people, what will quantum computers do?
Well, I suppose, you know, if we're talking about the ultimate limits of this technology, there is an exciting aspect of, can we even be thinking about life extension due to chemical searches in these machines?
You mean find new drugs that might help us, things like that?
Yeah. In some sense, I could imagine a world where we have these very lengthy clinical trials to bring a drug to market. We're talking about, you know, upwards of 10 years, in some cases, you know, decades. And I can imagine a world where it's actually the regulatory environment requires having these machines in order to do a search in advance on what is the correct molecular compound. And in some sense, the promise is getting rid of lab science or reducing the amount of lab science. Now, I don't think it's going to go away completely, but it'd be something that would be very, very supportive in parallel to the current empirical process that we have.
Maybe the uses will become more apparent when the machines exist.
Yes. Right. We've always had, even in the development of the computers we know and love today, the applications weren't obvious in the 40s and the early 50s. If you ask the original founders of transistors, what's a computer and what is it going to do for society? I mean, most of them would decline to comment. And it's similar today.
Which brings me back to one of my first points. You're an entrepreneur. So I always thought that entrepreneurs tried to make money, but quantum computing is so far ahead. What is your business model?
So we are focused on building out and developing all the IP that's going to be needed to run these machines. So without this digital error correction component that I've been talking about, really, if you pick up your cell phone, there are about 1,500 pieces of IP in that control noise. And so in a quantum computer, the noise is even more egregious because of this thing called decoherence. And so we have taken up this providing all of the middleware, if you will, for controlling the errors in a quantum computer.
So people will need you when they come to actually build the real thing.
Yeah, if you know, when everybody gets here, we've got the tools to make them run.
And you're quite interested in satellite communication, aren't you? Satellite to Earth.
Well, I've been noticing there's definitely a rush towards space. And I've been watching these plans very closely on the satellite launches. We're seeing OneWeb and Jeff Bezos' company and SpaceX launch these satellites to give the entire globe internet broadband connections. And I think that it's important to sort of think about the security of all these satellites that are going to be providing, our tech luminaries are calling it, you know, broadband for the entire Earth. There is a question as to the security of this technique.
Because how do you keep it secure? You know, you've got a signal coming down from a satellite.
Right.
Pretty
right.
Easy to intercept, you'd think.
There you go. So what's always on my mind is quantum and quantum security, quantum technologies. And the main focus has been China launched a satellite into space to do quantum encryption. Now, this is a very simple demonstration, a 1 hertz information transfer capacity. But the issue with that is that they lose 7 orders of magnitude of content in the atmospheric attenuation, and it only works for an hour, and it only works at night. But it's evidence that we should be paying attention to this now.
So that satellite is actually using quantum technology?
It is. What they did is quantum. That would be the secure version. Like, this is a very basic proof of principle of how to get to fully secure internet one day. In a world where we eventually have quantum computers and we need this type of security.
You're talking about the key technology. Now, we're using key technologies, aren't we, in our general internet security? When you see the little lock on your computer screen, something like that, isn't it? That makes our communication secure.
Well, we have great security for the pre-quantum regime. Part of the excitement and the concern around quantum computers is that they would be able to break this. You know, once these quantum computers are up and running, most of our current systems, like in banking, will no longer be fully secure. And so this is something that many people are starting to think about today of how to keep these systems secure. And I've been just sort of looking up into space and thinking, okay, we're all launching these satellites. I think that there are other ways to do that security in a way that's not as expensive or cumbersome as having the satellite launch and you on land. So we're looking at being able to provide the internet in a post-quantum world.
Right, so you somehow have to be very careful with sending quantum signals and not to degrade the signal.
Right. So we have a technology that acts as a memory that stays coherent for very long periods of time, up to years of time, depending on how much memory is added into the system. This is something that's been very much on my mind.
Have you had lots of backers for your company?
We've gotten a lot of interest.
How about Jeff Bezos with his satellites?
Yeah, I think this is something Jeff should be taking a very serious look at. Yeah, the technology is there and ready, and we'd love to talk to you, Jeff, if you're listening.
Jeff Bezos never misses a science show, surely. Michelle Riley is based in Vienna.